You're listening to Alan Brazil Up Front, exclusively on Audio Boom. Welcome, welcome. It's Up Front with Alan Brazil. Alongside me, Ray Parler. How are we, Ray?
How are you doing, Al? Very good indeed.
Good. So Up Front with Alan Brazil is sponsored by Bet on Brazil. Go to betonbrazil.com for all the latest odds and offers. I tell you what, Ray, let's start off. Let's look back a little bit. Chelsea 2, Spurs 1. We thought it'd be tight, didn't we?
Yeah, we did. And Chelsea in the end, and two very important goals. So two players who probably weren't thinking going to play every week. Victor Moses and Pedro. Pedro silly, seems to have really found his form as well with the new system they're playing from Barcelona. He didn't really hit the ground running when he went to Chelsea, but now he's got his opportunity.
Nor Moses.
Oh, Moses. And Moses suddenly is on that right wing back area and he's popping up with goals as well. So I thought there would be one goal in it. Chelsea, because there was at home, home advantage, you would have gone probably with the Chelsea, but you know, that's another great result. And believe it or not, Al, seven games now, only conceded one goal, which is amazing. And that just shows you how that defence have changed for Chelsea's point
and
of view.
And I'll say it again, I'm told Conte, he prefers four at the back.
Well, he won't at the moment,
Al. He's been pushed into it. No, he's been pushed into it and he thought, that's it. Why change it?
Well, we go back to the Arsenal game when it was really poor in that first half. And he went with three at the back. Alonso come on the left-hand side, second half. Obviously, Victor Moses on the right-hand side. So after that, they haven't looked back. And another great win. And they're going to be well there and thereabouts towards the end of the season.
Yeah, and the Chelsea, yeah, I think so. Obviously, up front, as long as they can keep, you know, any serious injury out of the way. Look at Liverpool, they've lost Coutinho now, haven't they?
Yeah.
For up to 5 weeks, I think.
Mm. Well, Hazard's very important. We know the top players.
Well, he's like, a great player.
Well, Diego Costa's having a fantastic season. He's probably,
but if they lose him, it's my worry.
He's the man in form at the moment. So, you know, I think they'd be hoping that they can keep going. Spurs, I thought they played okay. I thought they really set their stall out. Very unlucky, a little bit unlucky not to get a point. Away from home, so Pochettino.
It's the same as Spurs, Ray, isn't it? What happens if Harry gets injured out for 6 weeks? He has been already. There's no one to come in and replace him.
Well, Janssen was the man that came in, but he hasn't really. He's not done enough for me. When I've watched Spurs without Harry Kane, he's played up front and look, he tries his best, but he just hasn't got the instinct out of being a striker, running in the right positions, getting in the areas where you're going to score a goal. He seems to be, a lot of his work is outside the box, where, you know, Harry was always that poacher. He makes them runs and gets on the end of things.
Yep, so Chelsea 2, Tottenham 1. It's going to be fascinating. Of course, we can look ahead to Chelsea going to Man City. You know, what a game that's going to be. But that's for another time. Ray, what about this for a game? Now, we've touched on this as well, about managers under pressure. The Swansea manager, Bob Bradley, already, just after a few weeks, he's under pressure. But Crystal Palace, you wonder. Alan Pardew must have gone home on that bus thinking, how do you score four goals away from home and come away with nothing?
Well, this is a crazy game.
By all accounts, he's meeting the chairman. By all accounts, Allardyce ready to step in. Mm. And they score four away from home and get beat 5-4.
Well, this is a crazy game. And you look at their defence and it's very experienced, really experienced. I mean, Scott Dan, who's been mentioned to maybe an England call-up. Tomkins, who's obviously come from West Ham, who's played
decent.
lots of football. So it's amazing to look. You don't always blame the defence; it's the midfield as well in front of them, not defending properly. But it was an unbelievable game, rollercoaster of a game for managers. You talk about emotions in football. Their managers must have been thinking, "Well, this Palace, we've done enough now to get a result." And then suddenly, two late goals. Bang, bang, and they end up going away. Well, massive 3 points for Bob Bradley. You talk about managers need results, like David Moyes had a couple of weeks ago at Bournemouth. This was a huge game for them. Puts them off the bottom of the table now. So it's
13 games gone, Ray, right? 13 gone. You say, well, hold on, give them a chance till Christmas. But Palace, you know, they've got American owners as well now. They're looking at the picture from 3 months last year into this current season, and it doesn't make good reading
Steve
for Palace.
Parrish, well, I think Steve Parrish has got a good relationship with Alan Pardew, and I think they'll be sitting down saying, look, he's not good enough at the moment, and I totally accept that. But I think they'll give him a little bit more time, Alan. Look, they've backed him big time. I mean, Benteke, Townsend, they've brought some big players in. They lost Balassi, who was a decent player for them, but they've still got a very strong squad with people like Kabaye in midfield, MacArthur. You know, they've got excellent players in there. So to see where they are, the first thing they've bought do, first thing people look at Are they playing for the manager? Simple as that. But Alan, I think, will get it right. I think he's got enough experience to get it right, and I expect them to get out of trouble.
Do you? I'm just worried about it, Ray. I promise you. Let's look at the bottom. Sunderland, 9 points. Swansea, 9 points. Hull City, 11. Palace, just out of the drop zone, 11. And then it's so tight. West Ham, Middlesbrough, both on 12. And then the likes of Leicester down there with 13. It's ridiculous.
Well, Alan Pardew will be looking at the table and saying, well, 2 wins and suddenly we're out of trouble. Stoke City, look at them. They had that situation. Now they're sitting at 11th place. That's with a defeat last week. So, I mean, it's such an unbelievable league that I think a most manager will look at it and say, 2 wins and we're suddenly looking more towards the top of the league than the bottom. And that's how tight it is. So we talk about the top four winning all the week last weekend. But now you look at that bottom and it's getting really competitive down there.
Oh, it's frightening. Very briefly, because I want to talk more at the top. But you look at the games coming up. If we take Sunderland, and David's now got a little bit of confidence in the squad. They take on Leicester at Stadium of Light, at home. They could beat Leicester. I fancy a draw, but they could beat Leicester.
Yeah, a game that they might look at and say, can we take advantage of Leicester City? But, you know, Leicester got a good point in the end. Got the penalty, 2 penalties last week against Middlesbrough. Got the points, good point in the end because it was a last-minute goal for Leicester's point of view. But Leicester have been really weird this season. I mean, Champions League we know about, they've been superb. They're going to probably have, obviously come top of the group, which is great for them. But the Premier League form has been awful, but I think Leicester will turn up at the Stadium of Light and fancy their chances. And I'm going to go with a Leicester win here.
Are you?
Yeah, well, I think David Moyes
should be, but I'm just worried about this season.
But I think Leicester might win this one away from home.
And then with Leicester, a quick look at Swansea go to Tottenham. I think that's a straightforward home win. Hull go to the Borough. This is, for me, you know, Middlesbrough against Hull. This is, it's all right taking on the big boys, you know, for the likes of Middlesbrough, Hull, the Liverpools, the Chelseas, the Arsenal, Spurs, Cities. This is a 6-pointer.
Yeah.
This is a must win for Borough.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think they're target games like this. They beat Bournemouth at home not recently. They got them 2 really good points away from home against Arsenal, City. So Middlesbrough, the good thing for them is the Negredo's got 2 goals last weekend, and that will give him a lot of confidence. He didn't score till the opening game of the season, so he's been in a bit of a drought. But him scoring 2 goals, hopefully that will kick-start him again, scoring goals. But Hull will target this game. Mike Phelan will be saying to his players, look, point. Let's try and look to get a point here. Home form is very important for us. We can nick points away from home against our rivals, then we'll have a chance of staying up.
And one quick one before we go at the top. Palace against Southampton, right?
Well, Palace, look, Southampton, decent side. People expect them to be in the top 8, top 7, top 8, but I think Palace might get a result here. Whether it's going to be a draw.
Saints are not bad, though, Ray.
Well, Palace will be looking at it and saying, look, we've got to try and win this one, definitely, because the situation we're in, Alan Pardew's bang under pressure. We've just conceded 5 goals the week before, so I'm sure they've been working with a lot of defensive work in midweek. But Southampton going forward, as you rightly say, Tadic, Redmond, got some excellent players, strong in midfield, Davis and Romero. So, look, Southampton, a good side, but I think Alan Pardew's near, he's going to get a result sooner or later, and I might put this one down as a result, and maybe at least a draw, maybe 3 points for Palace.
So, if we look at some of the couple of big games, Man City against Chelsea, first versus third, Ray, Conte versus Guardiola, Costa versus Aguero.
Well, what a game. What a game to kick off the weekend, our early kickoff. So, all eyes will be on this game, especially at the top of the league, and you know, I think Chelsea will go there. They will be hard to beat, as they have been in the last few weeks. Only conceded 1 goal, as we mentioned, but you're playing now against a City side who, with the quality they have going forward as well, Aguero obviously getting the goals last week against Burnley. It's going to be really interesting to see how they set up. Two probably the best strikers in the division against in the Premier League against each other, Diego Costa and obviously Aguero. But again, this is a really hard one to call. I'm going to sit on the fence for this one. I think you've gone for a City win, haven't you?
I have, yeah.
I'm going to sit on the fence and maybe go for a draw. And maybe Chelsea might even nick it. So that's going to be my surprise one of the weekend. Not a surprise, but my shock of the weekend in that Chelsea might get definitely a result.
It worries me. It doesn't worry me. But Everton. Everton still up there in 7th, not playing well, are they? They don't have that drive, they don't have that urgency around them that they had last year, not yet. They take on Manchester United. Now, we don't know, Wayne Rooney going back to Goodison, he might level, he might beat Sir Bobby Charlton's record at Goodison. Again, this is a tricky one. Difficult fixtures this week.
Yeah, really tricky. But I think Manchester United playing a lot better in the last few weeks.
Making more chances, aren't they?
Yeah, Randolph was superb in the league game against West Ham. For West Ham, made some great saves. He really did. Got in some really good areas. And I think Jose will look at it and say, look, at least they're getting in the areas. And sooner or later, it's going to click. Sooner or later, they're going to get that goal. And really settle them down. But this is a tricky one. Goodison's a tough place to play. Koeman needs a result as well.
Yeah.
His form isn't in the greatest, but, you know, but then, I think you've probably got to reach Man United to win this one.
Seventh from the top, I said earlier. How high can Everton go?
Yeah.
Probably can't. That's probably the right position for them.
Well, you look at it and at the table at the moment, 19 points, only a point behind Manchester United. So that's how big the game is. They can go above them.
Better than United, Spurs, Arsenal, Man City, etc. No.
Yeah, no. Look, it's going to be difficult for Everton, but you know, I think they've got a very good manager on their books now. And you've got to give him time to build the team and see what the investment is in the team as well. But huge game for both sides because Manchester United need to keep that pressure on. 8 points behind now, Al, fourth place, and I think Jose was brought in to say, right, let's get a Champions League place. And at the moment, they're 8 points behind. They might rely on Europa League to get him into that situation. Who
knows?
Plus,
they could spend in January, but he's in trouble again, isn't he? Booting water bottles.
Well, the rules, whether the rules are right or wrong, you can't do that. And I mean,
Wenger got away with that, or did you not see that?
Well, I'm thinking that might be the rules where it weren't there.
I didn't see the bottle.
Well, the funniest thing about that was how he got to the director's box, because obviously you get sent off, where'd you go? Usually you have to sit, you know, and he sat in the stand, didn't he? And because obviously Old Trafford, the tunnel is in the corner, so you weren't going to walk right down the touchline and down to the tunnel. But look, I don't agree with the rules. I think that shows a bit of passion from Jose, if I'm being honest. And if you as a player, you want to see that. You want to see him kicking every ball and fighting for the team himself as well.
Yeah.
And look, whether the rules look, the FA look at the rules, taking your shirt off. I mean, what's the big deal with that? Celebrate me your own fans, saying you're going to incite. Look, some of the rules are ridiculous in some of the rule book, and maybe they have to have a look at that.
Okay, up front with Alan Brazil is sponsored by betonbrazil.com. Now, this is a new betting site for all sports punters with great odds, markets and offers. Listeners to this podcast can now get up to £60 deposit match when you use the promo code ALAN60. That's ALAN capital and then 60. So altogether, ALAN60. Just visit betonbrazil.com, enter the promo code ALAN60 on your first deposit, and we will match your deposit of up to £60. Great. Also, look out for a daily happy hour. The offer's between 5 p.m. and 6 p.m. So sign up now at betonbrazil.com. Over 18s only. Offer is for our new customers only, please. Terms apply. Betting should be fun. So please, please, like Ray and I, gamble responsibly. I tell you what, I'm just looking at some of the fixtures coming up, Ray. Not easy to make a few quid this week.
No,
I shouldn't say that, but it's not. I'm being honest.
It's difficult.
It is difficult.
You know, West Bromwich Albion, I'm a little bit, this one is against Watford. I think West Brom.
You don't know with Watford, do you, with the front pairings?
Yeah.
You know, they can get goals, but I fancy West Brom, to be honest.
Yeah, being at home again, that brilliant win against Burnley. And Tony Pulis, like him or not, he's getting results.
He's only three behind Man United.
Yeah, amazing. I mean,
player for player, United are much better.
You might talk to their fans and say, oh, it's not the most attractive football. I think they're playing better. You know, I think they've started getting. Well, they're scoring goals, which every supporter wants to see, but they're keeping clean sheets as well. So, West Bromwich Albion.
Burnley, they go to Stoke. Stoke at the moment are unpredictable.
Yeah, they are. They had that little run when they got out of trouble when they was in the bottom three with West Ham. Burnley have been absolutely different class. I mean, 14 points at the moment after 13 games. Their away form has been awful, though. They've only won one game away from home. They've drawn one game away from home. So their home form has been absolutely different class. That's why they've got all the points. So I'm going to go with a Stoke win here. Because of the away form they've had.
Now, we're going to differ here, and I'm probably taking a big, big chance. I'm gonna go. There's no Coutinho. I'm gonna go for Bournemouth to turn Liverpool over.
Whoa, that's a bold statement. Now, I mean, I'm sure there'll be a few punters out there saying, "What's he talking about?" I mean, Liverpool in great form. Whatever team they put down, we saw that young kid come on in the
just
EFL Cup.
You said that next week.
Okay. Well, I don't mind having a bottle of bubble on it again if you want, which will be the 10th one, you owe me.
Hello. This is up in twos.
It is coming. It is coming to Christmas. I might have to use a few of them, Al, sooner or later. But look. it's a bold statement. Bournemouth, a team that will enjoy playing the vitality. Liverpool, but have been in such great form. Coutinho is a massive loss, there's no doubt, but they've still got excellent players playing. Firmino has been sensational. Mane, different class. Very strong in midfield with the likes of Henderson and people like that. And you've still got Origi, who's come into the side scoring goals. Sturridge as well.
They introduced a few kids, didn't they, in the League Cup?
Yeah, they did.
Or the EFL Cup, sorry.
Yeah, they did. And they're looking very strong. And it was great to see a few youngsters coming on. And the kid who got the second goal.
Beat McAloon's record.
Yeah, by 100 days, I think it was. So well done to him. And he's got a big future with Liverpool. But certainly I can't see Liverpool not getting at least a point. And maybe probably Liverpool win there for me.
So what about, if Palace do change it, is it going to be Sam?
Well, I'm sure he'd be moving him next to you again, Canary Wolf. I'm sure I don't know if he's still got his place there. He lived there when he's obviously West Ham manager.
I don't know if he bought that or whether it's West Ham own it or rent it. I don't know.
But I don't know.
In Matt Blotter's a few West Ham.
Would that be a bit of a dodgy journey out? Palace every day?
No, from there,
through the Blackpool Tunnel?
No, he'll have a driver, won't he? Chauffeur.
So, look, I'm sure Sam is in a lot of people's minds at the bottom of the table thinking, well, if we do need to be saved, like Sunderland were last season, Sam Allardyce is the man. And, you know, it's up to Sam really to just wait in the wings and see what jobs are available, because there will be people panicking. There will be people being changed, because that's the era we're in now. Lots of managers being changed, but let's hope that they can all do well, because you don't want to keep seeing managers keep being sacked. It's not right, and it can upset the whole club, really. But people have seen what Sam has done in recent years, what he's done at other clubs, and they really want that if they need it, because he's a massive loss. If you do get relegated, I know you got the parachute payments.
No, he'd keep them up, wouldn't
he? But financially, for clubs, it's huge that you go.
But would one of Sam's teams, I'm trying to think back now, would they lose 5-4?
No.
That doesn't happen with his teams, does it? I think everyone knows this is your job description. This is what I want you to do. Anything above that is a bonus.
You wouldn't put it down as Alan Pardew's teams either. I mean, he's quite well organised usually. But, you know, he'd be pulling his hair out saying, well, you know, we've got to defend well for the last 5 minutes, then we get a result. Suddenly, a couple of mistakes, bang, bang, and you're losing the game. So Alan would have been so frustrated after that game. And looking at the team, I'm sure there would have been a big meeting on the Monday, going through the goals and looking at the why they conceded, and have to change quick, because they've got good players there. I mean, look at midfield, Kabayi, Benteke now, Townsend, Zaha.
Yeah.
You know, got lots of talent now, but it's now getting the best out of these guys now.
What about just in terms of Steven Gerrard? He was in the crowd, wasn't he? At Anfield. You know, he turned down MK Dons incidentally. It looks like maybe the Hearts manager, Nielsen, is going to get that job, which is a real surprise to me. But anyway, Gerrard in the crowd. If you were him, Ray, look, he's right from the top of the tree.
Absolutely.
Does he go and take a job on his own, a championship side? Because there'll be plenty coming up soon.
Yep.
For instance, Norwich will be coming up soon. I think Alex is on his last legs. Ipswich had a good win, so Mick should be okay now. But there will be jobs coming up. Or does he get involved with Klopp and say, I want to learn off you?
Well, it's going to be interesting to see what Klopp does, because he's got his own backroom staff. But again, it'd be very hard to turn Steven Gerrard, a man that's been at one club for all his career, more or less. I know he went to America, but we talk about the Premier League.
Or does he go to England?
Well, I mentioned that. I said, look, people like Steven Gerrard, everybody respects him, who's in that squad, the youngsters as well. Would he play a part in the coaching role there? Because he can still play, he can still join in sometimes. And I would have thought that would have been good for England. But
He's not a mess.
I think he's one of them sort
not...
of guys. He can pick whatever he wants to do, Al. He's got that, you know, he's got that respect now. You know, if he wants to go into TV work, there'll be lots of jobs for that. If he wants to go into coaching, there'll be managers would love his ability as a coach. But he's got to make that decision himself. I was hoping before he said, no, I want to hang my boots up there and play another season. Because
when you finished then, what did you do?
Well, I sort of went into the media pretty straight away. I mean, I started watching football at weekends, which I loved anyway, because it's the worst feeling ever when you ain't going to get another club for the following season. So you just try and be busy. You try to go to games, and I went straight into the media. I got lucky that I've got a few jobs. I enjoyed it. And I stayed in that, really. So, but managers, the only problem with me when you're a coach
that was and a bit strong
manager.
Fish Athletic came after you.
It's very regimental, though, isn't it? I mean, did you ever go management?
I did, actually.
And what happened?
Obviously, it didn't work out. No. It was the home of Ollie Murs, Whittam Town.
Well, look, how many good Scottish managers have there been?
Don't worry, we had results. But then I had a little opportunity to go to Australia. Mm. For a few games. See my brother over there, he was in Melbourne, I was in Sydney, so that was wonderful. Came back and then played a few games and immediately got offered to go to Switzerland and play, which was full time again, but not training hard every day. You know, they realised I had a problem with the old back and let me go, so it was too good to turn down. Or else I could be manager of Juventus.
Well,
now,
believe it or not, this week, I've had an indifferent week. I was at the Arsenal training ground a couple of days ago, and believe it or not, I was involved in a world record attempt by the Arsenal players.
Now, Phil Walcott, this is a wind-up.
He's got a world record, official world
Doing
record.
Doing what?
Well, I'm going to explain to you now. I don't know if you ever see the video of Suarez when someone dropped a ball and he had to control it.
No.
Now, I turn up at the Arsenal training ground. I've got Nacho Monreal, I've got Laurent Koscielny, I've got Francis Coquelin and Theo Walcott.
Because they've gone for the real skillful players, haven't they?
It's amazing just to see these guys are looking at this big crane now. And at one stage, I was winding them up saying, one of you got to go up there. They're going, I ain't getting up. No, no, we can't do that. So anyway, this guy is up on this big, he's up on the big... I'm just trying to show Al now quickly what it was all about. So we started at 15 metres up, Al.
Yeah.
So they dropped the ball. The lads had to keep the ball up, first touch, and keep it five times.
Yeah.
Obviously, Suarez is one. He let it drop on the floor, but they had to keep it up. So anyway, we went up to 25 metres, and I think all four of them done it, or three of them done it at least. On that, and then it went up to the world record attempt, 32 and a half metres.
Anyone do it?
Theo Walcott.
Did he?
Done it straight away.
Sometimes you can't control it after 12 yards.
Well,
what are you talking about?
And Francis Coquelin was excellent at it.
Another one could trap a bag of cement.
Don't head it, don't head it. Anyway, then they went up to 34 metres.
Yeah.
Done it again, Theo Walcott. So we was like, whoa, this is brilliant. And the guy from
but he had no fullback up his backside, did he?
The guy from the Guinness Book of Records was there, and
Norris McWhirter.
He was obviously the man. The witnesses were there as well. Then he went up to 40 metres.
So what were you doing there? Were you getting paid?
No, I was just there for a bit of fun.
I'm sure you were.
I was there for a lunch.
I'm sure you were.
I had a bit of lunch after. So anyway, he goes to 40 metres, and Theo don't do it for 40 metres. And Francis Coquelin, brilliant. He got the first touch, which is the hardest bit, because when it's coming down,
it's moving.
It's pace on it. He got the first touch right, went up, and he mucked the four keepy uppies, and it would have been 40 metres. And the guy was saying to me, there can only one record can be broken today. So Theo Walcott wouldn't have been, he's broke it twice, really. He's broke his own record, but Francis Coquelin, if he had kept it up for four more, and he was gutted. Couldn't believe it.
We couldn't do five keepy uppies.
No, he was devastated because he'd done the hard bit. The hard bit is obviously keeping it up, and that was a really good. Believe it or not, Theo Walcott now has got a
world record holder.
Certificate. You can Google this later. He's a world record holder.
Yeah, but you know, if he gets one more goal before Christmas, that gives him 10. His missus is going to buy him a coffee machine.
No, a coffee shop owl.
A coffee machine. A coffee machine. You know what a boring life they have now.
And he got a crate of Guinness for that when he won that as well. So I know a man will love that.
My weekend acca, and please go easy. As I said earlier, it's not easy. I'm going to take Stoke City on 11th, Tottenham in 5th, Arsenal in 4th. So the North London boys I'm taking, and Borough to win, who need it. It's a 6-pointer. So Alan's acca, Stoke, Spurs, Arsenal and Borough. That was up front with Alan Brazil and Ray Parler.
Brought to you by Audioboom.
BetOnBrazil.com is for over 18s only. Betting should be fun, so please bet responsibly. For more on this, visit gambleaware.co.uk.